so just praise God for all that's going on and the goals of 2020 that are unfolding. Let's take our Bibles this morning and hold them up and say this together. We are disciples and students of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we do the stuff He did. We walk out our obedience daily, no matter the cost. We consider all as loss in light of knowing Him personally. Amen! That's who we are. Everybody say, that's who we are. That's who we are. I love that. We do the stuff. Remember that story when John Wimber went to church and said he'd been reading the Gospels and all the things Jesus had done. He'd just gotten saved. And he asked his friend, when do we do the stuff? I go, what stuff? The stuff Jesus did. I've been reading the Gospels. No, we don't do the stuff. We pray about the stuff. We sing about the stuff. We may even cry about the stuff. But we don't do the stuff. We do the stuff, though. Amen? We do the stuff. We're going to do the stuff He did. And then I love this. We walk out our obedience daily, no matter what it costs us. Man, I heard that this week. He said, Steve, no matter what goes on, what the enemy tries to do, that does not change what I'm asking you to die to and who I'm asking you to be as my follower. We consider all as loss in light of knowing Him. So we're concluding our series this morning. And I encourage you, go back. You know, we'll put it out on CD in limited quantity, but it'll certainly be on the website. Go back and listen to it again and again. Me, myself, and I, we've plunged ourselves headlong into following Jesus into selflessness. We have given our lives as followers of Jesus. Here's Matthew 16, verse 24, the Passion Translation. I've not given you this one yet, but I like it. Jesus said to us, His disciples, if you truly want to follow Me, you should at once completely reject and disown your own life. You must be willing to share My cross. How many of you know the cross being carried through town wasn't always a badge of honor? They weren't really cheering you on in that. All right, okay. So carry and share My cross. Experience it as your own as you continually what? Surrender to My ways. Stop striving and surrender yourself. Amen? And find the power of God in the midst of your surrender. You striving is your ability. We don't need your ability. We've seen what you can do. We need you to surrender and allow His ability to come forth. Verse 25, for if you choose self-sacrifice and lose your lives for My glory, you will continually discover true life. And boy, I'm finding this in my personal life as I'm dying to things He's asked me to die to, where He said, Steve, you love those. I don't love those things. But as I die to them, it brings forth resurrection life. There is really life out of death. It's a principle. So as you choose self-sacrifice and lose your lives for My glory, you'll continually discover true life. But if you choose to keep your lives for yourselves, you'll forfeit what you're trying to keep. Verse 26, for even if you were to gain all the wealth and power of this world and everything it offers at the cost of your own life, what good would that be? And what could be more valuable to you than your own soul? How many of you know that's a stout passage? It's good stuff. This is a contrast to much of the Western church where we have said, or maybe didn't say it, but embodied, I'm going to live life and do my own will. God is with me. God loves me. But I'm really going to be in charge and make the decisions. We need to flee that. If we're really following Jesus, our prayer is not my will, but thine will be done. You know, you may be offended. Somebody tries to offend you. They can't make you offended. You have to take offense. But if somebody's needling you, that's your choice. You can say, Lord, I want to sock him in the head. But right after that, you better say, not my will, but thine will be done. Who's Lord of your life? Jesus didn't come just to be your Savior. He wants to be in charge and Lord your decisions. Amen. You're not shouting me down yet, but it's all right. So. I don't want to live. I know God's with me. I know God loves me. I know He'll never leave me, but I'm doing my will. I don't want to do that. I don't want to live that way. How about Philippians 3 in the Message, verse 8? Paul says, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. And how many of you know, he had a ton of religious awards. As for the law, he knew it all, right? He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. But he said, all that I thought mattered is gone compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master, my Lord, firsthand. Everything I once thought I had going for me is dung. That's really in there, guys. It is. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I can embrace Christ and be embraced by Him. Hallelujah. I gave up all that inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally. Do you see the theme here? I'm trading in my religious badges for a personal relationship with the living Christ. That's where the Western church needs to be. That's where we're headed. I don't know if you know this, but there's a polarization taking place. Light is growing, but so is darkness. Wheat is growing, but so are the tares. We've got a choice to make, and nobody will choose it for you. The church, quote, in America may get smaller, but listen to me, it's going to get stronger. It's going to get more intimate with Jesus. It's going to be more powerful. Go ahead and clap your hands. That's the truth. There's no more of this middle ground, mamby-pamby, I'll check my church card on Sunday morning and talk to God in a week. All that's going by the wayside. Amen? We're choosing Him. And we're all in. Everybody say, we're all in. So He gave up all the inferior to know Christ personally and experience His resurrection power. And look at this, be a partner in His suffering and go all the way with Him to death itself. Amen. This is where I am. I'm giving the Lord permission. Anything you don't love, I'll die to it. I'll die to it. And as I've made I don't supply the power, but I do supply the will and the heart. And my heart has said, Lord, I love you more than all these other things that you're asking me to die to. So yes. And then there's resurrection life applied to my will to choose to lay down things He doesn't like. So I mentioned last week, I've been sitting with the Lord on this question. How do we ensure our obedience to Jesus every day? How do we bear 30, 60, and 100 fold? Amen? Isn't that what we desire? How do we live as authentic Christ followers and disciples? And He took me to Matthew 13. So the parable of the sower, a large crowd is gathered. Jesus tells three quarters of them, you're not even bearing any fruit. You're not near where you think you are. Half of them, you aren't even saved. I mean, Jesus, He didn't go to church growth school. Because when the crowds would come around, He would tell them the truth of where they're at. He'd put everybody's hearts on display so He could figure out who was there to eat free lunch. And who was there who thought God was worth giving your entire life and existence for? That you'd give everything. Pearl of great price. I'll lay it all down. I'll forsake everything to follow this man, Jesus Christ. That's who He was looking for. So He told the parable of the sower. And His disciples are like, hey, why are you speaking parables? Therefore, I speak to them in parables because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them, Isaiah prophesied correctly, saying, hearing you will hear and not understand. Seeing you will see, but you won't perceive. Then verse 15, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn so that I should heal them. So the Lord took me here. Why? Because there's three modes of receiving right here in this passage. We're on the heels of the parable of the sower, of which Jesus said, if you can't get this, you can't understand anything I'm saying. Man is a receiver. He's a branch. So you need to hook up to me, abide in me, live connected to me with what? Your eyes, your ears, and your heart. With the heart, man believes. Romans chapter 10. Jesus said of the eye, if your eye's full of darkness, your whole body's going to be full of darkness. Matthew chapter 6. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So you've got to check on a regular basis, who am I giving my receivers to as a branch? Where are my eyes? Where are my ears? And where's my heart? And I would throw in there, oftentimes in the New Testament, heart and mind are used interchangeably, not all the time, but many times. So the mind is the gateway to the heart. Thoughts come to you. And you need a Holy Ghost reception desk, like at the front desk of a hotel. And put the Holy Ghost there, not you, not your knowledge of good and evil. The Holy Ghost is in charge of who gets to stay and who gets evicted. Amen. Because the mind is the gateway to the heart. Whatever you allow to pass through your mind, thoughts that come, they'll nestle in the heart of a man. And the heart, Jesus said, is soil. And whatever seed is allowed to be embedded in the soil, it'll produce fruit after its kind. This last week, I had some bad thoughts that came to my mind. And I discarded them. The next day, the devil tried to accuse me and condemn me. He said, you had bad thoughts yesterday. I said, those were your thoughts. Those weren't my thoughts. You threw them at me and I discarded them. Not every thought you have is coming from you. Amen. And as soon as I said, those weren't my thoughts, those were your thoughts, he left. He had a runaway. Not standing for that. So, Holy Ghost filter, reception desk, guard your heart, Proverbs 4:23. And what else? Garden it. From the cares of this world, pleasures of life, treasures, riches, guard. We don't want other loves in that soil. Amen. That's how we're going to bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. So here's the question. I put it up there. How do we ensure our obedience? How do we bear fruit? How do we live as authentic Christ followers? And we began this last week. The Lord gave me several of these at 3 a.m. one morning. And then I asked some other people who are walking with the Lord, what works for you? What helps you? What helps you and empowers you to live an obedient life? Number one, are you abiding? Are you living connected to Jesus all day, every day, staying connected with your heart, your eyes, and your ears? What do you mostly behold with your eyes? What do you mostly listen to? What do you allow to be rooted in your heart? How many of you know television can be a nightmare in regard to our eyes and ears? The media can be a nightmare. The internet. Amen. I'll let that lie right there and let the Holy Spirit deal with you. But you've got to start measuring. Who am I giving my eyes to, my ears and my heart? I want to abide in Him, not CNN. And if we're spending more time with our eyes and ears connected, remember you're a branch. So what you're connected to, whatever you're receiving is what you're reflecting. What's a powerful statement? You're going to reflect whatever you're receiving. And so make sure you're hooked up to Jesus. Number two, are you intentionally walking with other disciples? Are you living in community? So many people had said, it really helps me to have accountability with other people who know I'm going after the Lord with all my heart. It's good to share that with people. Amen. I pray you're in a marriage that you can tell your spouse, listen, I know how things have been in the past, but I need you to know I'm going after Jesus with all my heart. And that they don't mock you or point out when you miss the mark, but they pray for you. And they encourage you to walk with the Lord. Amen. And not get jealous of how much you love Jesus. I'm telling you as a spouse, you want your spouse to love Him more than they love you. I can promise you, He will teach them how to love you. Woo! Come on, Holy Ghost. Don't hang out with lowlifes. I knew I'd have to explain this. I'm not taking a shot at your friends. What I'm saying is, hang out with people that lift you towards higher living, higher values. Okay, not who pull you down into the muck and the mire. All right, you're going to become like who you hang out with. So what's that saying about you can't soar with the eagles if you think you're a turkey or something? If you hang out with turkeys, okay, yeah. Number three, are you sitting with the Bible and its author? Everybody say all Scripture. All Scripture. That's 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All Scripture is given for inspiration, for truth, for training in righteousness, for correction, all those wonderful things. And yet, 2 Corinthians 3 says, the law of the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life to the letter. So you need to sit with the... Sorry, I thought they were changing. 2 Corinthians 3, we're on... There you go. Sit with the Bible and its author, because the law of the letter kills, the Spirit will give life to what you're reading. We're going to put on Facebook this week. You know, we like to interact with you. There's a lot of stuff going on in the internet, as you guys know, so we like to be present there too. But what are things that you're doing that ensure that you're sitting with the author during Scripture time, that you're not just reading like newspaper? You've got to have the Spirit of Jesus Christ there teaching you and present as you're reading Scripture. Jesus said in John 5, that the purpose of Scripture is to bring you into relationship with Him. So Scripture brings you to Him, and then you get to sit with Him and the Scriptures and come alive. You need a blessed balance of Spirit and Word. Number four, are you agreeing with who God says you are? This is so powerful. Ephesians 4:22-24 says, put off the old man, refuse to identify with who you used to be. Amen? Verse 24, put on the new man. Start agreeing with who God says you are. It's the most humble thing you can do. Amen. 1 Peter 1:23, you've been born again by an incorruptible seed. So where's that seed at? When you got born again by the Spirit. Okay? So your spirit is incorruptible. Congratulations. So the devil can't make you bad. He can only make you think you're bad. What's the real reality? Well, I'm righteous. I'm pure. I'm holy. But now let's go a step further. When you're agreeing with who God says you are, you're also a disciple. You're a student, a learner, a practitioner of Jesus. You're not a church member. Do not identify yourself as a church member that waves at God on Sundays. That is not who you are. You're a follower, a student, a learner, a practitioner, an apprentice of Jesus Christ. So agree with who God says you are. All right, let's catch up, or we're caught up. Let's go to number five. Bingo. Are you staying immersed in truth? John 8:32, Jesus said that His disciples know the truth. Right? If you abide in My word, you're truly My disciples. You know the truth, and truth will make you free. So we want to be immersed in God's truth. With what? My eyes, my ears, and my heart on a daily basis. Amen. I want to be immersed in the good word of God. I want to clarify something from two Sundays ago. Remember when I shared with you, I'm not your Moses. Everybody remember that? And I still agree with that. I'm not your Moses. Every one of you, the veil is down. You can have your own personal relationship with God. You got no, don't let ever let a man, a pastor, anybody be your mediator. You go straight to God. Man, that's why the Lord did what He did. But let me bring balance to it because of a couple of comments I heard. I'm not saying sermons are bad. I'm saying that my sermons as your only source for truth is bad. If the only time you're hearing truth from the Lord is what you're hearing from the Spirit through me, that's not good. You can't be living sermon to sermon and survive in this world. We're going to have to be connected to the vine and hearing Him each and every day. Amen, somebody? Teaching God's word is not bad. Preaching is in the Bible. How will they know? Unless there's a preacher. How about prophetic gifts? I have a gift of encouragement and exhortation. I tend to be on the positive faith side of things, if you haven't noticed. It's not either or. It's not, well, I'm connected to Jesus now. I only listen to Him. No, there are gifts within the body, teaching gifts, prophetic gifts, exhortation gifts. You can learn from a donkey. Right. If you're humble and teachable. Yeah. Amen. It's not either or. Okay, it doesn't mean, well, now that I found Jesus, I don't need anybody else. No, we need one another. What I was getting at is that I shouldn't be the only source for truth that you have. Having pastors, having shepherds, having spiritual leaders, having spiritual authorities in your life is not bad. It's biblical. I even said number two above, are you walking with other people who consider themselves disciples, who are fully committed? It's good to walk with other people and learn from each other. What is ideal, though, is when you have members of the APEST, apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, or teacher, that they understand they're not your Moses, but they point you to your own relationship with Jesus. That's the role of any servant or any spiritual authority. Matthew Larimore is a young man that I meet with every week. And he's a fine young man. And he said, you know what? It's good, Pastor Steve, to go to a church where they actually guide us to our own one-on-one relationship with Jesus. He said, where we don't celebrate coming to church as the end-all be-all, but we get to celebrate being the church every day of the week. Isn't that good? I think he's like 18 years old. Thank you, Grace. 18. That's what we want. We want to encourage you towards your own walk with Christ. 1 Peter 5 says, shepherd the flock of God among you. So that's a good thing on whatever level. You have captains of tens, captains of fifties, captains of hundreds. Bottom line is that we learn from one another until we all look like Jesus. Ephesians 4 says the fivefold ministry gift, APEST, is given until we're all looking like Jesus. Can I get a witness? We're not there yet. So don't let anybody tell you that the APEST has passed away, because we're not there yet. We don't look like Him. We're not fully developed yet in Him. Number six, how about this? Are you fasting? Don't breathe all the air out of the room. Why is fasting a good thing? Fasting is a good thing. A, it's biblical. Now, it needs to come from the Lord, and your motive needs to be right, because this is the new covenant. Everything is about motive in the New Testament. Fasting is a great way to practice lordship. It's a great way to put Jesus in charge of your life. Because, you know, the appetite urge is something we all have. We all need to eat so we can live. So we have an appetite drive and an appetite urge. And when you tell the appetite, hey, you're under the lordship of Jesus, it's a good thing. You're practicing lordship. I joke about fasting sin. If you've not fasted sin, you should try it. Or fasting cussing. Because what you're doing is you're intentionally saying, there's something in my life I know God doesn't love, and by God's power and grace, I'm putting it down. I'm putting it down. And then, as you roll on and empowered, I think obedience begets more obedience, and we'll get to that here in a little bit. I like to ask Jesus, what do I love that you don't? I like to follow Jesus inwardly in prayer. A lot of people follow Jesus outwardly in prayer. What do you want to do today? Follow Him inwardly. You say, what does that look like? Psalm 139:23. Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Know my heart. If there's any wicked way in me, show it to me and lead me in the everlasting way. Follow Him inwardly in prayer. It takes time, though, okay? So you have to shut down your busy schedule a little bit and take some time to say, Lord, would you search my heart this morning? Let me just follow you inwardly in prayer for a little bit. That's good stuff. I don't fast to be spiritual. I don't fast to be seen of men. Listen to this. I don't fast to get God to do something for me. Amen. I fast to align Steve with God and His will. I fast to subdue the flesh, because the flesh can scream loud at times. Okay? So we practice subduing the flesh. It's a great weapon against self-centeredness. It's just good to tell the old body or the old flesh or the old mind every once in a while, you're not in charge. So I'm going to take, 3 days. I'm going to take 7 days or whatever. and fast. Amen. Oh, and one last thing. Be led of the Lord on that. Don't go home and say, well, I heard about fasting today. I think I'll try it. Wrong. Go ask Jesus, your chief shepherd. Is there anything that you would like for me to fast? Because I'm in partnership with you to subdue the flesh. I don't want to live by the flesh. Number 7, are you practicing obedience and seeing its value? I love this one. How about this? Is obedience a positive or negative word in your vocabulary? Because, amen. Because in some grace circles, it's like, what are you telling me about, you know, obedience and telling me to obey God and all this kind of stuff? It's almost like it's got a negative connotation, like it's law or something. Obedience is not law. Obedience is love. So when we encourage one another to practice obedience, let me encourage you to be obedient to the Lord. Go back to the workplace, right? I know you want to sock that guy in the head, but I encourage you to be obedient to Jesus. That's not law, that's love. Amen. Faith works through love. So we need to be able to see its value. What's our attitude every day towards obedience? Does it really matter to you? Are you passionate about obedience? Jesus' love language. If you love me, keep my commands. Here's a way you can demonstrate. I know you love me, but here's a way you can show me. What's your demeanor towards obedience? Are you at the place where it's like, Lord, I want to obey you at all costs. I don't care what it costs me. I want to obey you. It's freedom, not control. It's freedom, not bondage. Right? When you fully surrender to Jesus, which is what he was telling Tristan to do this morning when she came forward, fully surrender and give herself to him, Tristan became a free woman in her surrender. Does that make sense? Is it possible that there's a law then at work within human beings that when we fully give ourselves to the one who made us, that we come alive on the inside? We don't. See, religion is slavery. Religion is bondage. Do this. Don't do this or God won't like you. Don't do it. All this outward constraint, but inner intimacy and inner transformation and relationship brings great love and power and freedom. So I think that's so important. Obedience is not law. If we talk about obedience, I'm not putting you under the law. I'm encouraging you to love God with all your heart. And this has been, you know, a growth for me too, because I do run in a lot of grace circles, and we don't want anybody living by performance-based acceptance. That God will only accept you if you dance the right dance. Don't commit a sin or he won't love you. He'll always love you. He can't not love you. I've taught you this. He would cease to be God if he didn't love you because he is love. He doesn't just have love for you and give some love to Cindy and now he doesn't have as much to give to Gary. He is love. So he would cease being God if he quit loving you. He's always going to love you. But man, as we go deeper in our marriage with Jesus and we're married to him, then obedience is a good thing. And we want to shift. Father, we want to shift our mindset towards obedience. That, man, what a wonderful thing it is to obey. It is our best life. It is the grace-filled, spirit-led, spirit-empowered life in Jesus' name. 1 Samuel 15:22, obedience is better than sacrifice to the Lord. Obedience is better than makeup jobs. Okay? If he asks you to do it, obey. We've been praying with the intercessors here and at Prayer Shield that when the Lord tells you to move, you'll move. Yeah. Amen? Mary Bell? So Mary Bell had talked about it at Prayer Shield. She's been in this room on a Sunday morning and felt prompted to come down to the front and just worship God. But something, you know, holds her back. And so we start praying into that. Others mention the same thing. We want courage. We want obedience. We want freedom in this room. Not some spirit that's saying, oh, don't do that. People will look at you. You're weird. We don't want any of that. That's a deception. So I just give that to you prophetically. When the Lord says, move, move. And if you're in Walmart and he says, go talk to that lady, then go talk to that lady. Don't sit there and have an intellectual conversation with yourself. I can assure you the devil's not telling you to go help somebody. Amen. Don't shout me down. That was good. James 1:22. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving who? Oh my goodness. Deceiving ourselves. For if anyone's hearing the word, but not doing the word, they're observing their natural face in a mirror. You observe yourself, then you walk away and immediately forget who you are. Wow. So what does obedience do then? It actually fosters and cultivates your true identity. Isn't that something? When you're not just a hearer of the word, but you go right out of here and you start doing the word and you become one with it and you apply it, it actually roots you, grounds you in your true identity. Amen. When you disobey, then you start, you know, well, actually you forget who you are when you actually get into obedience, or sorry, disobedience. You've already been deceived a little bit. But acting on the word reminds us of who we are, keeps us in line with who we are. Just hearing the word is not fully in line with your true identity. Do you see how that's plagued the church? If you're a church member, I obeyed God. I went to church. No, man, become one with the word. Become one with truth and begin to express love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness. That's your true identity. Your true identity isn't just hearing the word. Your true identity is doing it and becoming one with it. Amen. The true you obeys the word. How about this? Just memorizing scripture or telling others what it says will not anchor you in your identity. Becoming one with the word that you're sharing will. Obedience will beget more obedience because it reminds you who you are. You don't walk away from the mirror, the good word of God, and forget who you are. How about Matthew 7:24? Jesus said, whoever hears my words and does them is one who builds his house on a rock. And I prophesy to you right now that our God is wanting to build strong foundations in this hour. Amen. And unshakable houses. Amen. And the unshakable house is you. That's the house he's building. But on a foundation. How do we do it? We don't just hear the word. We're going to do the word. We become one with it. See, religion says, hey, be satisfied with just hearing the word. What a great sermon. Good preaching, little preacher. Now let me go about living my own life in my own way, in my own will. That's not what we're after. Amen, please. Amen. We're not after that. We want to apply the word. We want to walk in the word. And I'll tell you one more. It's wisdom. See, knowledge is knowing you should forgive. Wisdom is when you do. Your true identity is not just knowing the truth. Your true identity is when you become one with it and walk it out and live in obedience to it. I got number 8 here from Jody Brown. I thought this one was really good. Are you reminding yourself what your disobedience cost you? So when you're tempted, don't go around meditating on this. But when you're tempted, remind yourself what your disobedience cost you. How many of you, if you disobey the Lord, you know he's with you? You know he's still there. Now, sometimes you feel like he's not, though. Am I right? You feel like, oh, man, I'm terrible. I'm horrible. God's nowhere to be found. He's still there. What's happened is your lens is dusty. Disobedience and sin can allow things to get in between that functional relationship. It's not on his end. It's you. Because you've given the enemy an opportunity to bring you some white noise real quick. To bring some static to your channels. Jody said, when I'm disobedient, it hinders my relationship with God on my end, not his. And it clouds my thoughts oftentimes. It clouds my emotions. Sin is emotional. Sin occurs so much in your soulish realm. So it's all about your mind, your will, and your Emotions. So when somebody trips your trigger and you want to punch them in the head, what emotion is going on? Anger. Maybe pride. Right? How dare they treat me like that? Don't they know who I am? Be careful. Pride and anger are brothers. How about this one? Fear and anger are brothers. Somebody's always getting mad. Ask them what they're afraid of. Because fear is why we want to control. And what we'll use to control people is anger and intimidation, especially if you're a male. Females can be much, much more subtle. They can do that, but they can manipulate in other ways, more subtle ways. Anyway, yeah. I'm not going there. Disobedience can give the enemy a foothold to condemn you and bring feelings of guilt. Feelings, the emotional realm. One of the things that Jezebel will cost you, the spirit of Jezebel, she'll lead you into sexual immorality, Revelation chapter 2, or she'll lead you into intellectual rabbit trails, profundity, all these, the high level thinking. What about this? Well, it could be this, it could be this. What's Jesus telling you to do? Okay. Jezebel likes to do that. Again, when we stumble, it doesn't mean God doesn't love us, but it can allow static in our hearing. So if you're tempted, just remind yourself what your obedience will, or sorry, your disobedience will cost you. Is that okay? Everybody good? All right, number 9. Are you practicing your oneness with Jesus? This needs to be a mindset. 1 Corinthians 6:17, whoever is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. You are one spirit with Jesus Christ. When Donna Wheeler goes into Walmart, guess who went in? Jesus went in. So she practices her oneness with Jesus. Galatians 2:20 says, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me, as me, and through me. That's the Steve Eden translation. In me, as me, and through me. How many of you ever heard of Francis Chan? How many of you know that, well, three of you, really? How many's heard of Francis Chan? Thank you. 7. Anyway, Francis Chan is a well-renowned speaker, theologian, teacher in the body of Christ. And he told the story the other day. He's not known for healing and miracles. He's good at rightly dividing the word. He's a great teacher, great heart. Great heart. He was over in Asia. On a mission trip, and he went into a small village, and when he was in the village, he realized not one person in this village has ever heard the gospel. Not one person has ever even heard of Jesus. And it hit him like a ton of bricks, and he did what any good preacher would do. He asked God for help. God, what do I do? Not one person knows you here. Please show up. Please show yourself. And the Lord showed him that when he entered that village, Jesus entered, not him. And he said, every single person I prayed for, including someone who was blind, got their sight. Everyone was healed. Every person I prayed for in that village was healed. What did he do? He saw his oneness with Christ. It's not the power of Francis Chan. He's simply the UPS driver. And thank God he went. Amen? Jesus wouldn't make him go, but he went. And when he got there, Jesus delivers the goods. We've got to practice our oneness with Jesus everywhere we go. Let this be a mindset. It is no longer I who live. It is Christ living in me and as me and through me. And he was so shocked, he came back the next day and said over and over again, are you sure she was blind? So it wasn't his great faith. He was shocked. Every single person in that village that was sick or blind or whatever was healed. So he came back, and the way I understand it, he gave his church away, and his whole family's moving to Asia. You're not a church member. You're a real follower of Jesus. You're a real student and disciple of His. And because we're His, we do the things that He does. Now, it's His power and His grace, but we are the UPS truck. And so when you go to the restaurant, He goes. When you go to dinner, He goes. When you go to Walmart, He goes. And it don't make religion out of it. Don't just say, well, Jesus just walked in. I'm going to pray for this guy, that guy, and that. No, listen. And pray for whoever He asks you to pray for. Serve whoever He asks you to serve. That's what I love about the outreach. You heard how blessed the principal at Choctaw is. How blessed the principal at Nakoma Park Intermediate is. Why? Because we serve them and we don't want any credit. We just want them to see how good and loving and kind our Heavenly Father is. St. Francis said, everywhere you go, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. I don't know what Francis Chan preached. He didn't say anything. Maybe he didn't even preach in the village. But Jesus showed up with gifts and goods of healing and changed an entire village. Basically, the kingdom of heaven now rules and reigns in that village. There is power today in Him. And we had a word at Prayer Shield this last week. We're going to see more and more of the power gifts, the manifestation gifts, and the revelation gifts as we leave the world. Yeah, there's criteria on that. We felt like that the Holy Spirit said, yes, there's going to be more demonstration, more power, more revelation gifts, which would be like words of knowledge or words of wisdom. As you depart from the world, as you're more obedient. Because like I was saying, white noise, static can get in there. It can hinder our hearing when we're living too much in the world and those kind of things. Just like this morning, how fascinating is it? I didn't ask for a word for Tristan, but I had a word for Tristan. And then clearly the Lord was moving on her heart, she came up here and asked for prayer. When you look at the Old Testament tabernacle, it's three parts. Outer court, what kind of light lives in the outer court? Natural light, natural realm. Most holy place, you got the lampstand, you got some oil of the Holy Spirit, and then what do you got? Holy of Holies. There's three parts. The tabernacle means dwelling place of God. Guess what you are? The dwelling place of God. You're the tabernacle of the new covenant. Guess how many parts you are? Three. You've got an outer court, natural. You've got a soulish man. Some oil of the Holy Ghost is in there. And then you've got your inner man. The Holy of Holies, where the presence of God dwells in your spirit. And it's there in that realm that you're seated with Christ on the mercy seat. And actually in that tabernacle, when you're seated with Him, now you're looking back with Him into the other two realms. You're one with Him. That's my point. We're practicing our oneness with Him so we can see what He sees when we go into Walmart. We're hearing what He hears people say. We're loving with His heart. Amen. All right, number 10, last one. Are you scheduling reminders and intentional meetings with Jesus? If this isn't habitual for you yet, Roger Tudor gave me this one. He said, I put it on my phone, and so every hour, on the hour, an alarm goes off and simply says, Roger, are you abiding? Are you living connected? Are you mindful of the Lord? That's a good practical thing because we don't want to forget about Him through the course of the day. We want to have intentional time with Him, refocus, and live connected to Him. I remember what he told me over a year ago. He said, Steve, I love that you listen to me and your prayer journal and all that. But he said, let's up it another level. Don't ever miss a day. Never miss a day. Just carve it out of your schedule and give your mornings to me. Not every other day, every day. And I've been faithful to do that. Will you stand with me? Amen. Well, Father, we thank You this morning for this entire series, Lord, and we're following You into selflessness. And we know that as the flesh gets crucified, as the flesh is subdued by the Spirit, that there's great life and great power. Lord, and I pray that for each and every person who's worshiping online with us today, those that are present with us this morning, that we'd be empowered to walk these things out. Holy Spirit, you know, speak to each person about which ones work for them, which ones they should keep. Maybe it even spurs a whole nother discussion with you and them of practical things to help them live obedient lives, bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold, and live as an authentic follower of Jesus. Lord, we love you. I want to pray one last thing. We thank you, Lord, that as the fruit of the Spirit is grown in our hearts, that we're going to see more and more of the gifts of the Spirit. Lord, revelation gifts, manifestation gifts, power gifts, Lord, that are only given to meet human need. They're not about us. But Lord, let your kingdom come and let your will be done in all of our lives as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, give God praise this morning. If you need prayer, stick around. Otherwise, you are dismissed. Let's go change our world.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.